Let's get to Ellen Hazen, our guest for the half hour. Ellen is the chief market strategist at FL Putnam Investment Management. She joins from Wellesley, Massachusetts. Ellen, thanks for being with us. We're just getting started in the earnings season. Yesterday, a couple of positive surprises. I would put Netflix very much on that list, along with United Airlines. More of a mixed bag today after the bell. How do you think we're going to look when we kind of check in on overall third quarter results?
Thanks for having me. As we look at third quarter results, we think there are going to be more misses than the market is currently expecting. And we also think that companies are going to guide down as we go forward. If you look at GDP for this year, it keeps getting revised downward, and it's really hard for companies to keep growing their earnings in the face of that. On top of that, with higher inflation and also with negative operating leverage, I think a lot of companies are going to have trouble meeting first of all, the top line, and second of all, the bottom line. So despite the positive numbers that we saw out of a couple companies, I think that in general, we're going to see more misses than we have in recent quarters.
So looking at all that, does that, looking at this, the forecast will, of course, be the most important thing. But do these forecasts perhaps also presage a recession in your view?
It's hard to know if there's going to be a recession or not, but certainly a lot of the warning signs are there, particularly the inverted yield curve and the fact that the leading economic indicator index has slipped negative here in the U.S. So it does look much more likely than it did, say, 3 or 5 months ago that we will have a recession here in the U.S. The key thing that's different, though, and I think this has been talked over, but it's still important to mention, is the U.S. labor market remains very strong, and we haven't seen a recession with the labor market this strong in prior years. And so we're in a little bit of uncharted territory from an economist standpoint in terms of predicting whether or not a recession will happen given the strong labor market.
So you mentioned the inflationary pressures there, and I'm going to go right to the margin issues. Do you expect a lot more in terms of margin compression?
Yes, we do. We think right now most consensus estimates are looking for positive operating leverage, and I just don't think that that's likely to happen. And it goes across different sectors. And so we look at rising everything, right? Some things are beginning to come in, but the year-over-year comparisons are still higher. Even if gas is a little bit lower than it was last month, it's still a lot higher than it was a year ago. So we are going to see negative operating leverage in a lot of companies.
Ellen, what are you at the moment looking at in terms of, A, the economy, and how does that inform you as to where you're putting your money right now? And I'm assuming you're perhaps shying away from some of these growth stocks, but again, they've been beaten down more than others.
Well, we're looking for the economy to continue slowing into next year. I think economists have taken their estimates down from 1.7% growth this year to only 0.5% growth next year, and we could even go negative next year. So we're certainly expecting a slowdown. And so what do you buy in a case like that? The first thing is we are underweight equities in this market because we do see continuing deterioration in the economic fundamentals. So we still do own equities, but we're underweight versus client long-term benchmarks. So that's the first thing. The next thing is we look for companies that are pretty inexpensive. A lot of companies have been beaten down, and particularly we're looking for those that have high-quality, close-in cash flows. So we're looking at a lot of healthcare names. You can see a lot of the pharmaceutical companies here in the U.S. trading at single-digit multiples, and they still have 2.5%, 3% yield. We're looking at a company like CVS, the healthcare insurance and retail companies trading at 10 times earnings, and you still get earnings growth in 8 to 10%. So you get paid to wait with that one with a 2.5% yield too. So there are names that you can find, but you want to find companies that are generating free cash flow now and that have been really beaten up along with everything else. I think with rising real interest rates, because we're having synchronized global central bank tightening, those high flyers of yesterday in terms of growth stocks that have come down a lot, but that didn't have a lot of cash flows, I think those are not the place to be. I think it might look tempting because they've come down a lot. You look at where they were, but those cash flows are just worth a lot less than they were before with higher real rates.
So the market's already expecting a peak in Fed funds of around 5%. So maybe they get a little bit more tight beyond that. But let's say 5%, we can agree on that as the terminal rate. Wouldn't it make sense then to begin to look at fixed income more than equity?
Absolutely. And for the first time in years, we're finding attractively priced high-quality corporate bonds and even treasury bonds for our clients. And so this higher rate environment is positive for fixed income. And so we are putting some of the cash that we have to work buying bonds. But at the same time, you need to be careful because your upside is capped with bonds. And so you want to be really selective about which corporate bonds you buy. You want to make sure you're really high quality because if you get it wrong, you can give up a lot of performance that way.
Give me some names that you like and the ones that you don't. What have you been cutting and what have you been buying, in other words?
So on the equity side, as I said, we are looking at a lot of the healthcare names and other high-quality names like Kroger. Same thing, right? 10 times earnings. They're going to have a lot of accretion from the Albertsons deal. On the bond side, we're really cutting back on some of the corporates and redeploying that money into treasuries. So we're seeing some high-quality corporate names trade at very tight spreads, and so we've been cutting back on those. We still think treasury inflation-protected securities make sense to own here. And conventional treasuries as well.
So we've been speaking a lot, whether it's equity or credit, on the U.S. domestic side. Are you looking at opportunities offshore? I'm curious about that. I know the dollar has been very strong, but if we're already beginning to question the durability of higher rates and maybe looking at a Fed pivot in the near term, and I say that maybe 6 months from now or so, maybe less, are you looking at opportunities offshore?
We are always looking at opportunities offshore because if you simply look at the valuation discrepancy between the multiple that the U.S. is trading at on the stock side and multiple that European countries or Japan are trading at or other countries, it's a big gap, right? And that gap has not narrowed at all. Now, you could have made this argument 5 years ago, and you would have got your head handed to you because the gap didn't shrink. But at some point, right? At some point, when you get re-accelerating economies that are growing faster than the U.S., that gap may narrow. And so the opportunity is there. But getting the timing is really tricky. And as I say, it's been a wide gap for a long time. And until we see more evidence that the dollar is beginning to weaken, we're not willing to take that bet.
Ellen, real pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Ellen Hazen there. She's a chief market strategist at FL Putnam Investment Management, getting her take on the markets.